In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
It's always our joy when you choose to join us every morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. With me in the studio this morning is Pastor Joe Helm. Pastor Joe and I are on staff here at Brookside, and we are going through the thrilling exposition of just a few verses of 1 Peter. If you've got your Bible, let me encourage you to open it up and just see what Christ has available for us when we are facing discouraging times in situations that we may feel like, wow, where is Christianity? And why are we so criticized and bashed? Well, it's not as bad as it was with the folks that Peter is dealing with. They are being persecuted to the point of death. But Peter offers them hope. And that is what we want to focus our attention on. The hope that we have in Christ. The hope that you have in Christ as well.
Yeah, Pastor Greg, and 1 Peter is really all about hope. It's about a living, vibrant, active hope that is rooted and grounded in three things. Number one, the marvel of the wisdom and love of God. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is a marvel of God's wisdom and love. Number two, the matchless example of the suffering and the sacrifice of Christ. I mean, he took our place. On that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And so it's the matchless example of the suffering and sacrifice of Christ. And then number three, it's the mystery of the inner enabling and sustaining grace and work of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And that's what Peter really wants them to know as well. And that becomes more evident as he works his way through the scripture and gives these truths and then turns and applies them and exhorts them to live in a way that brings glory to God. The last program we had kind of ended up talking about the incredible description of the inheritance that Peter's reminding these believers that is theirs in Christ, reserved for them in heaven. This incredible inheritance that, number one, was incorruptible. It could not be overrun or defeated. In other words, it was invincible.
Exactly. Right.
Number two, it was undefiled. That means it's morally pure and it will never be defiled. I like to say the inheritance is sure, it's pure, and then thirdly, it will endure, and that fadeth not away.
Amen.
And it says then, it just gives you these remarkable descriptions of this inheritance that is ours. And then for reassurance, he says, and all of this is reserved in heaven for you. God's made a reservation. And when God makes a reservation, nobody cancels it. It's sure, it's pure, and it will endure. And then to really add, it's like adding layers and layers of glory here, where he says in verse 5, talking about the people, the believers themselves, not only is their inheritance reserved in heaven, but then he says, you're kept by the power of God through faith unto that salvation, which is going to be revealed in the last time. And this is what all of that, which is incredibly encouraging, and he needed to do that because he makes it clear in verse 6 that in all of this, you do greatly rejoice. You know these truths, even though now for a season, if need be, in trials, you're in heaviness through trials, and trials are needed. God uses trials in our lives to shape us and mold us and grow us and mature us into more and more and more of the image of his Son, that we would be more faithful, that we would be more fruitful, and that we would more accurately and authentically represent him as his people, as the ambassadors that he's intended for us to be. And he sees that process as a precious process.
Mm-hmm.
We're reassured of that here in verse 7, where he says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than that even of gold. And I'm thinking about that once, and I'm thinking, you know, really in here what he's telling us, because he goes on to say that gold, even gold, is going to perish.
It does say that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That perisheth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold, even gold. We look at gold as being one of the most resilient, enduring, hard, and precious things of earth.
Right.
For resilience, and it's durable. But God reminds us here, hey, you may view it that way on earth, but I'm telling you, it's going to perish.
It's all going to burn.
It's all going to burn, and yet not you. By faith, you're not. And when, of course, he says that you're going to be found, you're going to persevere, and you're going to be found at the other end of the fire,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be found to the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ when he appears.
What a hope for Christians who are going through the worst they possibly could ever think of to say, wow, there is a light at the end.
Yeah, God has a purpose and a plan. And,
yeah.
You know, I love the song by Ron Hamilton that goes, God never moves without purpose or plan when molding a servant and trying a man.
Right.
It's mysterious, and it can only be clung to in faith. And it's in that faith that he goes on to say that, you know, whom having not seen, you love. I mean, you're loving somebody you've never seen.
Right.
In whom, though you see him not, you believe. You're believing in somebody you've not seen. And so you're loving and believing in someone who you've never seen. And yet, at the same time, despite kind of that anomaly or that unusual picture, you're full of joy. And it's a joy that's not just a joy. It's a joy unspeakable. It's beyond explanation.
Amen. Amen.
And then he goes on and he says, do you know how privileged you are? He's saying that to these people. He goes on in verse 10 and he says, of that salvation, the prophets inquired and searched diligently to determine, you know, what manner or what circumstances that the Spirit of God that was in them was speaking of. In other words, the Old Testament prophets. And the words that are used in this passage about searching and diligence, these words are describing that these Old Testament prophets were just with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, searching the truth and asking God to reveal to them more and more about the sufferings and the coming Messiah and the sufferings and the glory that would follow.
Mm-hmm.
But God did not give that to them during their lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and he says, talking about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not only unto themselves, but unto us they did minister. In other words, the prophets, they were ministering to us who would come later. And it says then that even the angels looked down from heaven wanting to know more about this Messiah.
Right.
And yet they didn't get all the answers either, but we do. When the gospel is preached, and after Christ came and died and rose again and ascended, and the Pentecost came and we received the Holy Spirit, all of that was done for us.
Hmm.
It's an incredibly privileged position that we hold in this grand story of salvation.
And boy, the Christians were so besmirched and criticized and ridiculed in the entire Roman world. What a joy for them to get this letter from Peter and realize who they were in Christ.
Yeah, and the privileged position that they held.
Yeah.
Greater than the prophets, greater than the angels, greater now because they get the full picture
right.
of the truth and this salvation in Christ. And that's what's so encouraging, too, because really the whole chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 just kind of builds and builds and builds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crescendo that ultimately by verse 12, you're ready to just jump and shout. But then Peter, you know, he's smart, too. He turns around in verse 13 then and says, wherefore, or because of all of this, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is being brought to you as a result of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he's now telling them, okay, you get all the glory, you get all these privileges, you have all this incredible inheritance and the protection of God and all of this stuff, but there comes with it a responsibility. You now have to turn around, roll up your sleeves. The idea of girding up the loins of your mind was actually a picture from back in the old days when the men wore these long robes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, those would get pretty difficult to work in if they were tripping over their robes all the time.
Right.
So they had a belt, and they would take the robes from down by their feet. They would bring up those robes and tuck it in all around their belt so that now it was almost like they were wearing shorts, so
sure.
to speak,
right.
so that their legs were loose, they could maneuver, they could work, they wouldn't be hindered or given any kind of impediment to hard exercise or work. Well, he's referring to that happening in your mind.
Isn't it interesting? He brings us back to the mind,
yeah.
back to the truth.
Yeah, bringing us back to the mind because it is a battle for the mind. This is one of the most difficult things for us to deal with on a day-to-day basis,
mm-hmm.
that the victory that we have starts in the mind. You know, the mind is mentioned 99 times in the Scripture in the King James Version. 58 of those times is in the New Testament.
Hmm.
And so the New Testament very clearly portrays the mind as being an essential part of this whole process.
Okay, okay.
Of course, in the Old Testament, we're told to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
But then in the New Testament, Colossians 3:1 says that we're to set our mind on things above. Not to set our affection on things of the earth, but to set our mind on things above. And we're to have the mind of Christ, Philippians says. And then it goes on and it talks about a whole bunch of different things about the mind. Warnings about the mind. Don't be soon shaken in your mind.
Okay.
Don't be doubtful in your mind. Don't have a carnal mind or a fleshly mind. Don't let your mind be troubled. Don't mind or think about or attend to earthly things.
Right.
Don't have a hostile mind. Don't have a reprobate mind. Rather, you need a spiritual mind, a mind that has readiness towards spiritual things. The mind of Christ, again, we mentioned. Have humility and lowliness of mind. Have a sound mind. Be minding or paying attention to the things of the Spirit, eternal things, not earthly things. Be renewing your mind. Be reconciled, striving together in your mind with one another. I mean, there's so much about the mind because it all starts there.
Hmm.
Because what's in your mind is going to be worked out
right.
in your life.
Right, right.
It's what causes you to think the things you think, to react and do the things you do, your behavior. And the result of all of that is going to be your emotion.
So whatever affects our minds, we have to be so carefully guarding that aspect of it.
Yeah, guard your mind and renew your mind with the truth.
Right.
It's like a cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like changing the information in your computer. You got to flush out the old and get in the new for your computer to work right.
And, of course, it's the Word of God, isn't it? And we've come to the close of our broadcast. But I trust that you will allow the Word of God to reprogram your mind. And in doing so, the battle for the mind will be won by the Spirit of God who lives within you. And then with the proper mind, you will be able to obey and have the hope that Christ has been promising to you. Not just hope in the future, but hope in the present. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.